We're with you. Airchecks.com.
Hey, one of the funniest sketches that Brian and Eric ever came up with, in my opinion, it's just me speaking, that I just thought was hysterical. And you'll hear, I'm beside myself. Now, we did our best. There's one bleep. Actually, there's two, but it's both the same word. It's the T word for boobs.
The most benign, most wonderful word in the world. And believe it or not, that's one of the no-nos on the FCC. It's so user-friendly.
It's crazy.
And it works so well in this sketch, but we had to bleep them out.
So we pushed. We said, come on, what? They gonna fire us? But it couldn't get done. So there's two bleeps, only two. But for my money, again, this is the origin of Tony Rigatoni. But one of the funniest written word-for-word thoughts. Who thinks this way? It is the doggy brothel. It says here, a German artist has applied for a license to open a brothel in Berlin for sexually frustrated dogs. And says it's going to be the first of its kind anywhere. Carl Frederick Linz says he plans to charge dog owners €25 per half an hour of happiness. Quote, if dogs can't get what they want, they get cranky, just like people. Linz told Reuters, despite Linz's claim that this will be the first dog brothel, we found out there's actually one in Nevada just outside Vegas. With us on the phone is the owner of that brothel, Jerry Murdoch. Good morning, Jerry.
Yeah, good morning, Mark and Brian. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
How you doing?
Yeah, good. As you said, I'm planning on opening up a doggy brothel called the Moonlight Puppy Ranch. Now, this will be the very first pussy-free brothel in Vegas. Our entire brothel will have dogs.
Nice.
No cats.
No, I see.
Dogs coming to the Moonlight Puppy Ranch will be able to get anything they chihuahua want. It's $50 an hour, but if your mutt doesn't bust a nut, you get your money back. Our motto is sit spot, stay spot, see spot, make a wet spot. We have beagles with B cups, corgis with C cups, and dachshunds with D cups. And with more than 100 lovely lassies here to please, that's more than 600 to satisfy your hound's every whim. We'll have different rooms catering to each pooch's particular fetish. We got an ass-sniffing room. We got a ball-licking room. We got a little pink pencil penis-biting room. And the room where male dogs dressed in drag drag their asses across the rug. Kinkier dogs can get a golden retriever shower or a Cleveland steamer from a say-it-with-me shih tzu. There's a giant fake leg for the humping in each room, as well as a fire hydrant if your pup's into water sports. Your dog can get involved in a 60 canine, a menage a terrier, or he can simply get a massage with flea relief. If your dog's gay, we even have wiener dogs and cock spaniels sporting some mad wood. Our whore dogs will do anything your puppy wants. We believe in safe sex here at the Moonlight Puppy Ranch, and that's why our hooker mutts have to pass a weekly rabies test and get a note from the vet saying they don't have heartworm, the mange, or doo-doo in their teeth. You could call our dogs hookers, prostitutes, or whores, but just don't call them streetwalkers, because when they hear the word walk, they get all excited and won't work. So if your dog would like a little kibbles and come on down to the Moonlight Puppy Ranch. Take good care of you. Ask the taxi driver. He'll bring you.
Mr. Murdoch, thank you. Very informative.
Yo.
Looking forward to hearing all about that.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Right.
Let me say something. You mentioned Eric and I write these sketches, and if there is, like there was a fifth Beatle, if there was a third Mark and Brian,
yeah,
it would be this guy over a lot of years. I used to write everything, and you know, when we first started out in the first few years, and it just, I needed another mind, and we were so lucky to connect with Eric. Eric and I have fun nearly every weekday after the show on the phone talking about what we can do. And occasionally, there will be a sketch where I haven't talked to him about it. I just haven't. It's just something. He's one of the greatest comedy writers in the city. And there's that we didn't talk about, that we didn't throw punchlines back and forth. And I'll just come in the next morning and go, oh. And I was planning on doing a request a sketch or something because we didn't have a sketch today. He had written something just because he had thought it was a funny idea and he was excited about it. And there it was in front of me. And, for example, it was the Kruger grocery store sketch.
Oh, sure.
Which is a classic, one of the most requested on the...
We're going to fit that in.
Other than doing the voices, I had nothing to do with that. And, I mean, that is this writer. That is this man. That this guy is so incredibly talented. And... besides that, he's like my brother. He's like Priva and Eric are my family, and I'm so lucky to call him one of my best friends. It's just a tremendous talent that he has.
Now,
by the way, I'm going to be stumbling all over today.
Well, of course,
with my words,
of course,
they're emotional.
So this is the final Mark and Brian radio program. It's my last show. I invite you all to join me at 9:30. I've got my thank yous and my goodbyes that I want to share. So I want you to be here for that. Also know that, you know, it doesn't matter who you talk to. You could say, what's your favorite moment of the Mark and Brian program? And there'll be different answers. For me, as I've gone through these last few weeks and trying to bring up the things that meant so much to me, the one that we've got coming up after Matt Nathanson, for me, only because it encompasses every part of what I think this show represented. If you were to write down everything that this show represents, this particular moment in time hits all of them. And so I saved it for last. And let me say that in the past, which we've shared this footage, it was footage that a listener sent us off of a cassette tape. Danny went back and found the original tape itself. So the quality is supposedly killer.
7:32 right now on this very special Mark and Brian show. I'm Kelly Gates. Not sure if you've been following this story, but it's been pretty fascinating and a big development this morning. A Moscow judge has sentenced each of three members of a provocative punk band whose name I'm afraid to say on the radio, could get in a lot of trouble, to 2 years in prison on hooliganism, followed by a trial that has drawn international outrage. This sentence comes amid a wave of protests around the world in support of the feminist rockers and the right to free speech. Paul McCartney gave a very impassioned plea yesterday, but nevertheless, they have been sentenced to 2 years in prison. And also, Bobby Brown getting clean. His representative says that he did check into a confidential rehabilitation center last week as part of his plea agreement after he was arrested for drunk driving back in March. This report is brought to you by, how about Sit and Sleep?
It's Sit and Sleep's 33rd.
You are listening to a song that is currently in the top 10. Not a surprise. Matt Nathanson. Matt, good morning.
Hi, guys. That was like my own narcissistic dentist's office right there.
It should have been.
Like I was on hold.
Matt, how are you?
Good. I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing great. This is a fun, emotional, crazy day.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I'm not even there, and it was emotional. I'm sitting here waiting to talk to you guys, and I was just thinking the end of something. It's difficult when things transition out, and especially when things are so great. You guys are like, I'm going to miss seeing you together, and then I'm going to miss hearing you on the radio every time I'm in Los Angeles. You guys are the best morning show on the planet, without a doubt.
Well, Matt, I can tell you, and I think Brian would attest to it, that it's true, and it is true. When a door closes, whether you close it yourself or it gets closed for you, others do open. Once you have kind of moved forward and that area behind you is no longer where you are, there's other spaces that you got to move forward, and it's true. It does. It does open other doors.
Yeah, the evolution is important, but it's always a sad, sad day.
No question.
For both of us, happy and sad.
Yeah. I don't want to be breaking the news, but you know that Bobby Brown's clean now, so I think we can tell everybody that Bobby Brown is going to be the next
morning show at KLOA. That's awesome.
I mean, it's important.
It is.
Now, this guy, Matt Nathanson, there's so many talented people that have run across our microphone here. We were approached by the guys at the record company and said, look, I know you don't know his name, and I can't even tell you how many times that approach was hit on us. We know you don't know his name. We know you don't know his music, but you really are going to get a kick out of this guy. And we said, well, give us a CD. So I'll speak for myself. I drove around my car listening to this debut CD, and I freaking loved it.
Now, these are the days, you know, long past payola, where record companies would come in and give you, like, drugs or a VCR or something.
Right.
But I wasn't above that. And
right,
they said, we will have Matt Nathanson on, but I want $10,000 of your record company money.
I brought a Betamax player, and you guys totally didn't take it.
So he said yes, and Matt came in, and he was wearing torn blue jeans and flip-flops, and it was just him and a guitar. And he sang five or six of these songs. And now he's Matt Nathanson. But let me just say, the difference in Matt Nathanson is that he becomes a big star, and he still talks to us.
And he wears better-looking jeans when he comes in.
Actually, not much better.
No, not really. The title track to Matt's new album, Modern Love, is now a top 10, up to number 8.
And Matt, I can tell you, I don't even know that you knew it was my daughter, but you were at the Christmas show, and we had lumped everybody into one big dressing room, and my kids were in there, and my daughter, Katie, was eating a hot dog. Now, Matt is bent over, he's pulling his guitar out, he's trying to get ready because he's about to go on, and I don't think he had a chance to eat. So he turned to my daughter, who, again, I don't think he knew was my daughter. He said, can I have a bite of that? And she puts it out there. You took a big bite of her hot dog. It is one of the great moments of her life that Matt Nathanson ate her hot dog.
<That's> like awesome. It was the first time.
That Christmas show was pretty much the highlight of my life. I remember during the rehearsals, I was sitting on stage watching Rob Halford sing Living After Midnight with Slash.
Yeah.
And Fee Wabel singing Talk to You Later.
Yeah.
Jason Bonham on drums. That was my music nerd, like a fantasy camp.
That was a great Christmas show, and you were such a huge part of it. Matt, listen, gotta move it along here, but loved it. We could chat for hours. You're one of those guys, and you've been there for us every time we've asked, and we couldn't be happier for your success, brother.
Oh, dude, thanks, guys.
Matt, I can promise you I'll be in North Carolina, and when you move through Charlotte, I will be there. To bother you. And
I love it. Bring it on, you guys. I'm totally down. That's going to be great.
As long as you're holding a hot dog, he can buy one.
I'll be the guy in the hot dog costume.
Matt, good talking. Thanks for the call, man.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys.
We have a couple of, well, we don't, but we're still going to take it. I mentioned last segment the talent, which is our writer, Eric. And my dear friend Eric, he wrote this one all on his own. It was a big surprise to both of us. Sometimes he would do that. Sometimes, you know, we didn't plan on having a sketch that day, but he would wake up at 10:30 and go, oh, I got to write this. He's got that kind of a mind. So this is one I had nothing to do with the writing. This is one that will always stand as a classic sketch. It's one of the most requested.
And let me also add that this is a wonderful testament to why it is that we do these live. We could pre-record them and they'd be perfect. But live, mm-mm, when you've got the music and you've got the sound effects and you've got the script, this is a great example of just being so entertained by what you're doing that you just laugh in the middle of it.
We decided years and years ago, before we even got here, that we would not pre-record sketches because we love, hey, if the fourth wall's going to be busted down, we're going to do it with a tank. Here it is.
There are so many reasons to shop at Kroger's supermarket that it's impossible to choose the best one. Is it our huge selection of fruits and vegetables? Is it our incredibly large frozen food aisle? Or is it our unsurpassed selection of canned soups?
Well, if you ask most folks, they'll tell you the best reason to shop at Kroger is our award-winning meat department. Yes, we take great pride in serving you the juiciest cuts of meat that money can buy at prices that are impossible to beat.
A lot of people ask us how we can serve such tender cuts of beef and chicken day in and day out like we do. Well, the key is in the killing. Because our butchers who work in the Kroger's meat department, it's not just a job for them. They actually hate animals.
Yes, at Kroger's, Our butchers use the bluntest objects that they can find to silence and eventually kill the animals that we serve you in order to drag out the animal's pain and make them suffer for as long as they possibly can.
You see, at Kruger's, we kill our animals with extreme malice, and it makes a difference for a taste you can love.
Sometimes, we'll even shout insults. We'll even shout insults at the animals and taunt them as they lie there waiting to die. And that only seems to make their meat juicier and more tender.
It's the extra effort that we put into slaughtering our animals that sets Kruger apart. Sure, we don't need to use a guillotine to kill our cattle, but when you're eating one of our delicious hamburgers, you'll be glad that we didn't show those stupid cows any mercy.
The fact is, our butchers chose a low-paying, unfulfilling career with no chance of advancement, and there's nothing they love more than taking out their anger on a poor innocent animal that they're paid to kill.
Hey, it's not our fault that cows can't run away and chickens can't defend themselves. No, our job is simply to slaughter animals in the most inhumane manner possible and then sell you their flesh at a price that fits your budget.
So, stop on by the Kruger Meat Department today, because if it doesn't say Kruger on the package, then the animal just didn't suffer enough.
I think it's safe to say that, along with Elvis, that's the most requested piece. And we know we've, you know, shared it before, but God, it's fun every time. Well,
every single time. Listen, folks, we were going to play you another piece next break that happened, and it was just one of the really fun moments that happened in the show. We're going to push that back a little bit because we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you for
Clipping Coupons.
It's back. The KLOS Summer Concert Series at the Greek, starting Sunday, May 6th, with a triple header. REO Speedwagon, Styx, and Ted Nugent. Under the stars at the Greek, it's the KLOS Summer Concert Series. Complete information and tickets at 95.5KLOS.com. Keyword Greek. Sponsored by Solar Max Tech. Green power for the future. SolarMaxTech.com.
KLOS Skylord Traffic.
They're clearing a crash from the lanes through downtown L.A. on the 101 northbound at the 110, the downtown 4 level. It's a crash there. Traffic is stop and go from the 5. Southbound is slow in pockets from the 134 to Glendale Boulevard. Through the City of Industry, we've got an accident with the 60 here eastbound at Nogales slow. An overturned big rig is blocking the two right lanes and the southbound Nogales on-ramp. Traffic is slow and go from Azusa Avenue. Stalled car on the 10 Santa Monica Freeway eastbound at Alameda being reported. Looks like it's in the left lane through downtown. This report is brought to you by your Southern California Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, your participating Toyota dealer helps make it easy to take care of your Toyota. Take advantage of Toyota's value on tires. See Toyota dealer for manufacturer rebate details. I'm Mark Wheeler for the Skylord on 95.5 KLOS.
Well, okay, this afternoon, 3 at 3, Bon Jovi, The Who, and Van Halen. I got Michael Loftus in the 5 o'clock funnies, and since it's a Springsteen weekend, lots of Bruce tickets on KLOS.
I've got to take a little time. Little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older.
Welcome back to the final Mark and Brian radio program. Nice to have you here. We've got just a full show of friends are stopping by. I saw Chuck Moshantz in the hallway.
Got a thing to say to that boy.
Does he age? What happened?
It's crazy.
What the hell?
I swear to God, he looks exactly as he did 25 years ago the first time we saw him. It's unfair. It's not right.
He actually has a preceding hairline.
It's crazy.
What the hell's going on?
It's growing in around his nose.
I have something I wanted to share with you, and I, of course, wrote this out last night, and it's a statement. Mm. I have a statement.
Uh-oh.
I have a statement.
Now, wait. Did you get, like, a staff of attorneys to help you with the words?
That's the thing. I didn't.
Okay.
And that's why you're going to... I may go off page here, but there are some things I want you all to know. And if I do go off page, like I usually do,
sure,
and go crazy, and I'm just going to stumble through this because it's going to be very hard to get through it. Music, Frankie? Just kidding. I have always thought myself truly blessed, and all your phone calls, your letters, your emails, your texts, and now tweets of support have made that very obvious for me. As all of you know, I've been unable to share any details with you or the press of what's been happening because I've been in negotiations with the new owners of KLOS. The station, I just want to put this out there, the station has been wonderful. But the fact of the matter is, a little over 3 years ago, when the station was under a different owner and different management, I seriously considered and made my peace with moving on. But then, a new management was brought in, and it was clear to both Mark and I that things were about to change for the much, much better. This building, this station, mm-hmm, went from this stagnant, mm-hmm, couldn't breathe in the hallways, corporate, mm-hmm, ick, to breath of air. They were playing rock and roll in the hallways. It was sexy again.
Mm. It was great.
So I decided to go another 3 years and have been since so incredibly happy that I did. Now we jump to 2012. Mark tells me he's going to be leaving, and I'm feeling much the same way. When the management comes to me and asks what it would take to keep me on, I said that if I were going to do this, there's only one person I'd want to work with as a partner, and that's Jill Whelan. She's hilarious. We've known each other for years. We're comedy soulmates. And I started to get kind of excited about the fun that could be had. So I agreed to enter negotiations and see where this could go. Now, a few short weeks ago, Jill and I were approached by a podcast company, which was something we'd actually talked about doing. You thought, podcast? Mm. I've heard about those. I've heard of podcasts. They invited us to their facility, and we absolutely loved it. As the podcast process was explained to us, or as I call it, podcast 101, I had a lot of questions, got a lot of answers, didn't understand many of them. But
hey, but at least you asked.
But one thing stood clear, the freedom that a podcast would give, the things we can do that we couldn't do anywhere else, the hours, and not getting up at 3 in the morning. Mm. It all sounded great. So before we walked out the door, we knew that regardless of how the talks at KLOS turned out, this was going to happen. We'd be doing a podcast. Meanwhile, because the negotiations were going on, I couldn't tell any of you listeners any of this. I couldn't be as honest with you as I always try to be. It's been incredibly frustrating for me, and it really came to fruition this past Wednesday at the House of Blues. There you all were, right in front of me, saying the most lovely, most supportive things. And all I could give you was a very heartfelt thank you, and that was it. I couldn't say anything else. To say I felt stifled is an understatement, but make no mistake, I also felt incredibly grateful. As I tweeted after the show Wednesday, the love and support you showed me that day was astounding. And speaking of love and support, I want to acknowledge the people, the family, my family here at KLOS. Throughout this whole process, they made it clear to me that whatever I choose to do, they would support me. Mm.
And Frankie, right there, Frankie Sontag, is a beautiful, beautiful man. He and many others around me said that they just wanted me to follow my heart and be happy. I have to say, to have just one person like that in your life is a true gift. But to be literally surrounded by magnificent people like the ones here is absolutely overwhelming. So here we are on our last day, and I am now able to tell you that I will not be continuing with KLOS. Late yesterday afternoon, I instructed my attorney to end the negotiations. Now, the owners of Cumulus, this new company, have been great, but there were a couple of points that we couldn't agree on, and I just felt it was time to stop. I have a big fun playground, a podcast playground, that I want to go play on for a while. I want to take a year, and I want to just kind of recharge, and I want to go play and see what kind of fun we can have over there, and I want you to join me. There are going to be other playgrounds as well. I might return. I don't know. But for now, I just want to kind of leave and go have some fun on a podcast with my dear friend Jill. No launch date has been given on this. We are throwing this together kind of at the last minute. But you can always follow and keep track with me at Brian W. Phelps on Twitter. And we'll lead you where we're going to go, and it's going to be an incredible blast. As painful as this is, I look forward to the time and the laughs and the new things that we're going to come up with on this podcast. I just can't wait. I want to introduce you to Jill. She's out there somewhere. I heard her laugh. This is Jill Whelan.
Hello, baby.
This is Jill.
How do I follow that?
Jill.
Good luck.
Jill, wow. I was Jill was in the green room and Mark was in there, and I heard Mark laughing his ass off. And I go, what did she say?
Something dirty. Something dirty.
Oh. Well, you know what? It's good that you cleared the air, because there's been a lot. Obviously, I've done a lot of press as I say goodbye in my last show, and I couldn't respond to what was going on because I didn't know what was going on.
It was so frustrating, Mark, for me, because as you know, you've been kind of living through this with me. When the LA Times called and they want to do a calendar, front page calendar section, and I can't talk to them.
Right.
And I always imagined you and I kind of parting ways. Lovingly parting ways, as we're doing, but parting ways with us both, you know, and I couldn't be part of that because of these negotiations, and I just kind of wanted to stop, take a little time, take a while, and have fun with Jill on this podcast, and maybe I'll be back.
Yeah,
but I've been overwhelmed by the love and support that everyone has shown me.
Well, so that you know, in the world of radio, in a perfect world, this is the way that it would have happened. I've known Jill, not as well as Brian, but I've been introduced to know her and love her, and hysterical, this woman. So in a perfect world...
That's just my emotions.
So in a perfect world, you know, I told Brian, he was the first one I told back in October, so in a perfect world, the company would have worked with Brian, found out, figured out a deal that would have been struck, a deal with Jill would have been struck, and then it's announced to you that I'm leaving. Then Jill would be brought into the room. We would all do the show together for a month. You'd get to know her. Then this day would come. I would slide out. She would slide in. Perfect world.
That would have been great. And I'm not blaming at all the owners of that were doing the negotiations for this company. They were doing what they do. And my lawyer was doing what he does. And they, like I said, there were just a couple of points. I don't want to harp on them. But that's one of the reasons, and the other reason is I just kind of want to go play with Jill in a podcast for a while. And like I said, I may be back. Now, Jill is a mother of two kids. The show, if she were to continue, actually, we'd be talking about, you know, on her side of the thing. If we were to continue here at KLOS, we'd be talking about
bachelorette shows. And the wives of Beverly, who gives a F?
Okay, fine, Mr. Football.
I'm just
what
saying.
Girls!
Well, but, I wanted to say this. I don't know, again, Jill as well as Brian does, but I know this about her. She lived in Philadelphia. She gave up a very lucrative hooking job.
Mm-hmm.
To
I did.
To come here.
No, I do it online now.
Isn't that great?
Oh, so you're on the computer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Nice stretch, Mr. P90X. Can you do that with both legs?
As a matter of fact, I think you can.
Wow.
So there you go. And I wanted to make that statement because as we're having guests come in and we're having all these people saying, you know, goodbye to Mark and what are you doing, Brian? I wanted you all to know. So that's it. And we will see you on a podcast for a while. We don't have a launch date. I want to take some time off. I want to take a few weeks. They're saying, no, got to go Monday. You're on Monday, you know.
Right.
No. No, I'm not. You'll
but
be hearing.
We'll know.
Be hearing all about.
Well,
it.
Well, I will say this: the world of podcasting is a very interesting world, and there's a lot of ways that people are accepting their entertainment these days. And because of what has happened in our beloved radio, those of us that love the business, and God knows I do, and Brian does, and Jill does, we love it. A lot of people. When the recession hit radio and the owners, God love them, they opened the books because they're losing money left and right. We got to cut these salaries. Let's cut the big ones. And those happen to be the talent. So there's a lot of people, very talented people, that were cut from their job. There are no other jobs. And they still want to talk into a microphone. So they're talking into a podcast mic. So there's a lot of different ways that entertainment can be gathered, and there's more coming because it's a changing time.
Yeah, I heard about this new thing. It's an 8-track.
You know, we should talk.
I got one.
We should speak.
Yes.
There's other things. It's new. It's crazy.
It's in my stereo alarm clock.
Seriously, this was us at the podcast, the first podcast meeting. So it comes out here? All right. So there, having said that, we will continue with this fabulous last day of the Mark and Brian radio program.
All right.
Thank you all.
So coming up, we have an old friend. We do have the consummate moment. And we'll get everything in.
By the way, the old friend we're talking about coming up next is a surprise guest. Do you know? Have you found out?
I do not know. I do not know.
I don't either.
And let me just say this officially.
Uh-huh.
And I mean this.
Uh-huh.
I don't trust Ted.
I know.
I don't like
it. We never have. Yeah. We'll be right back right after this. The Mark and Brian radio program.
95.5 KLOS.
We shall. 8:06 on this Friday Mark and Brian show. I'm Kelly Gates. Mitt Romney's campaign says it's clear that the president just wants to talk about Romney's taxes rather than the issues that matter to voters. That's responding to the latest volley from the Democrats over Romney's taxes. Obama campaign offering to stop pushing for further releases of Romney's tax returns if he will release 5 years of those. Also, Barry Bonds' lawyers have filed their reply brief in their appeal of his obstruction of justice conviction. Hearing before a three-judge panel is likely late this year, and then a decision possible by 2013. And the drummer for Ted Nugent, formerly a Dokken, pleaded not guilty to taking a joyride in a golf cart after a concert in Maine last month. Oh, all kinds of crazy things happened there. Security guards and shoving and chicks in his cart. He's out on $4,000 bail. His next court date has not been scheduled. Office Depot saves you time. Depot time, low price. On tablets and laptops, backpacks and supplies, and outrageous designs. Incredible weekly specials. Office Depot. School time is Depot time.
95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1, Los Angeles.
Welcome back in. This is the final Mark and Brian radio program. It's true what they say. All good things have to come to an end, and this one is, but it's coming to an end. Hopefully in a good way. And I ask you to join me about 9:30 as I will share with you my thank yous and my goodbyes as I move forward into some other very exciting things, and I look forward to sharing those. Hi, Brian. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
There's pizza out there.
I know. Danny Ram.
Now, I just want to say pizza. Right. That's code word for champagne.
Right, right. Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Now, here's the thing.
Is that starting?
Here's what's going on.
Uh-huh.
There's a bunch of girls in there.
Yeah.
Of course, Priva.
Yeah.
Franny's in
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
And, of course, Jill.
Right.
Priva came up to me. Do you want some champagne? I went, no, I'm good. Okay, because we have champagne. And Sammy said that we shouldn't drink any until you do. You want some champagne?
Like, okay, give me a glass of champagne. So the girls are going to get wasted.
Yeah, of course they
here
are.
Here on the show today.
Now, is it good champagne? I mean,
oh, God, it's horrible.
Oh, well,
you know, who cares? Sammy brought it.
Who cares?
Oh, this is our surprise guest, Frankie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, Ted told us yesterday that we have a surprise guest and hidden the face he makes. And you can tell the face by the sound I'm going to make. This is the sound he makes when he makes this face. He was very excited.
All right. Well, this is a surprise guest. I don't know it. Brian doesn't know it. Everybody else appears to. Mystery guest, would you say something to us, please?
Well, I just want to take care of business right now. I just want to get right down to it, boys, because I heard one of you guys is leaving, which one of you, whatever, doesn't make any difference. But, it was an opening for a job, you know, so I figured, yeah, man, I'll give it a call. So I called Lisa Marie, and she said, yeah, Daddy, you got to do this, man. So I call up today, I'm listening to the radio, and then is there some chick named Jill going to take your spot or something? I said, man, I'm too late. I'm too late. I was going to come out of hiding for you guys. I was gonna do this big thing, you know, maybe do a show with you or something. And now you're working with somebody else, Brian, and Mark, you're gone forever. Man.
Well.
It ain't right, man.
Let me just say that we just got a gift because I know who this is.
Yeah.
And not only do I know who it is, but he just spoke as... I would go ahead and say one of his greatest characterizations as Elvis Presley. That is Kurt Russell.
Kurt!
Oh, I know that means something to you guys.
Listen to you. Kurt, well, how you doing?
Listen, I'm up in Canada. I come up here every summer and spend the summer with my family. We're all up here. I just got the word the other day that Mark, you were done after 25 years. Yep. You're leaving. And there a big roar. I reported this to the group, and they just... Oh, come on. I mean, they were really distraught.
Yeah.
And but listen, congratulations to you. Congratulations to you, Brian, and your future with Jill there. I hope that's great on the podcast.
Either Jill or Elvis now. I might have Elvis.
All right, now,
but
Kurt.
I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing, isn't it? And 25 years of great shows, guys. You're fantastic. It's bittersweet, right?
It is.
We've told the story before. We'll tell it quickly. We went around the room one morning, you know, slow day, I guess. Mm. And we talked about how, you know, if you could be any other guy, who would you be? And we rarely agree on these kind of things, but we both said Kurt Russell. The flannel, the everything about him. He's the man's man. And then he had taken us out on a speedboat, a cigarette boat. And we're like, we want to be Kurt Russell. We love him. And then we got a little, you know, emotional about it. The very next day, there were roses sent by Kurt with a card that said, I love you.
Hey, don't forget our day on Escape from L.A. That was a pretty fun day.
Oh, that was a blast.
What a cool time.
Now, Kurt, we had Val in here the other day. In fact, yesterday we had Val Kilmer. In fact, Val and Dana Delaney were in the room together, and... Val said, we started talking about you, and Val said, I don't know where Kurt is. He's off somewhere counting his money. Now, that's probably true, because you got your wine going.
That's what I was going to say. Mark, does wine interest you? Because I got to tell you, about 5 years ago, I was kind of at a point in my life where I said, you know, I've had a lot of fun doing what I've done. I kind of felt maybe I was in your shoes. And I said, you know what now? And I just found myself doing something that I'd always wanted to do, and that was get into wine. And I got to tell you, man, what a fantastic new world this is.
Yep.
And I highly recommend it. I've got my brand is called Gogi, G-O-G-I, and I'm going to get some to you because I want you to have it. I specialize in Pinot Noir and Chardonnay,
ooh,
and I make it at a vineyard up there in Santa Rita Hills called Amplos Vineyard. So if you ever get up that way... duck into Amplos Vineyard and maybe I'll be there. And I got to tell you though, put that one on your bucket list of maybe things to do.
We will.
As you change careers.
We will. Kurt, now what is the significance of the name Gogi?
Gogi is I'll tell you guys. Because I don't tell this much. It's just an old family nickname. And so I always name all my wines after nicknames that are within the family, but the Gogi brand, that just happens to be an old nickname.
Now, Kurt,
what my kids call me.
Kurt, let me ask this question, and I ask it selfishly because I'm a fan. Just the other day, and I do this periodically, I dusted off the 1983 version of The Thing, which still to this day, not only because of... you, the entire cast was phenomenal. You get the great direction of John Carpenter. That's beside the point. Here's my point. My guess is your answer is going to be only if the great writing comes across my desk. Please tell me that you're still open to a great role every now and then.
Oh yeah, listen, I read stuff, wasn't really that excited about it, and to be honest with you, I was just getting further and further into the fun of doing the wine. But I just this last winter did a movie that it's called Black Marks at the time. I don't know if it's still going to be called that when it comes out. Did it with Matt Dillon, and I'm getting ready to do a couple this fall that I think could be really good. One of them is a great script. Matter of fact, in the sort of vein of Tombstone, in that sort of style, it's the best script I've read since Tombstone.
Ooh.
It's called Bone Tomahawk, and I'm looking forward to getting that going. But no, I'm still doing it. I've just gotten a little more picky. I've been able to per Val. I've been able to, thanks to my great mass fortune.
Yes.
be able to be a little more picky. And I've got all the things in life that are making me happy, and I'm just having a great time.
That's
but
great.
Yeah, I love making movies.
I love
playing different characters, and so I'm still cranking.
Kurt, is it true that you were up for the role that Meryl Streep eventually got opposite Tommy Lee for Hope Spring?
Yeah, and Tommy Lee wouldn't go for it.
Damn it. He's such a dick.
Tommy Lee says no.
All right.
Dick.
Kurt, before we let you go, now those of you that are not aware, Kurt obviously went on to play Elvis Presley in the Dick Clark made-for-TV movie. Phenomenal job. It's not been topped to this day. But Kurt, what made that unique, Kurt worked with Elvis in the movie It Happened at the World's Fair. He got to kick him in the shins. I don't think that I've ever asked you this question, Kurt. This will be the last thing we'll ask, and we'll let you move about your day. Would you, every time I ask somebody this question, and yesterday was the anniversary of his passing, there's always an interesting story. Would you please tell us, and I think you were 10 at the time, would you please tell us about that first moment that you met Elvis Presley?
Are you talking about when I saw him drive onto the set?
Whatever, I don't even know the story, whatever it is.
Okay, well, no, it was my first brush with any kind of celebrity of any kind. I was 10 years old. I had heard of Elvis Presley, didn't know who he was, really. We were up in Seattle, and so now I'm down on the set, and we're waiting for Elvis to come onto the set to do the scene, and I hadn't really ever seen him. And so here comes this car, and I would say about 4,000 to 5,000 women broke through the barriers and jumped on the car.
Oh, geez.
And I looked over there and I said, what are they doing? I mean, it was crazy. And they said, that's Elvis. And I thought, oh, man, this is a little different deal. And so they had to reset everything up, and about 2 hours later he came back in, and so I got to meet him. What a completely sweet, wonderful man. I must say, from meeting him even when I was just that young, it was years later when I was actually 27, which was how old Elvis was when I first met him. It was the memory of Elvis that really gave me the sort of impetus for how I was going to go about playing him. I just remembered him. He was that distinct.
Wow.
To a 10-year-old kid, you never forgot that. That way, that voice, and, you know, it was pretty stunning. But I'd never seen anything like that. And I also, it was my first movie, and I thought, if this is the way it turns out.
You know what they call that, Kurt? They call that quite the entrance.
I saw Kurt at the Riviera during a major golf tournament, and he came up and said, we came up and said hi, and the movie 10,000 Miles to
Graceland. Oh, 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
3,000 Miles to Graceland, right?
That was a hunk of garbage, Kurt.
100,000 miles.
Right, well, this is my favorite. I've told this story on the air. This is why I love you, Kurt. We're talking, and I said, so the movie just came out, 3,000 Miles to Graceland. How do you think it's going to go? And this was his reaction. I don't know. I couldn't stop laughing. Listen, man, I want to come to your winery. When is it open now, or do we have a launch date?
Amplos Vineyard is up in the Santa Rita Hills off Highway 246. It's right in that Santa Ynez area.
Okay.
And welcome anytime, any at all, and just call the vineyard. And you know what? I'll stay on the line. Make sure you've got my number.
Great.
I don't want to do that over the phone. It would kind of probably not work. I would love to see you up there and love to take both of you guys. I really would.
to a trip through the vineyard, so you can see what we're doing up there. It's fabulous wine, and it's just in its debuts in San Francisco, New York, and Aspen. It's just done fantastic.
As I mature, I've gotten into wines, and I'm nowhere near where you are, but I would love to come.
You are absolutely welcome. Absolutely welcome, and I look forward to seeing you guys. And you know what? I'm going to apologize for something.
Okay.
Over the year, you guys have been so nice to me. And you've always said, please come on the show whenever you want. I didn't come on enough, and now I regret that I didn't do that. That's one of the few regrets I have in my life. But you guys are absolutely fantastic. You are the mark, and it's going to be a tough act to follow. But you know what? Good luck to you, Mark, in whatever you do. And Brian, good luck on this new thing. I just can do nothing but wish you two guys well. You're two really cool, good guys.
God, Kurt, thank you, man.
You're the best, Kurt. Thank you, right. And we will speak soon.
And hang on, Kurt. I'm going to pick up.
And you guys are going to send that check soon.
Right? We are. Was it 15,000 or
15,000?
Hey, good luck, guys.
See you, man. Thank you, Kurt. Hey, Ted.
Yes.
Do we have time? What are we doing? Well, I know that, but what's after?
Is it the game?
What?
Skyler Traffic brought to you by Hammermill Copy Plus Paper, guaranteed 99.99% jam-free. Just $1 per ream at Staples after easy rebate. In-store only. Limit 2 while supplies last. Ends August 18th.
KLOS Skyler Traffic.
Got a problem working right now through Downey on the 5, northbound at Paramount Boulevard. Motorcycle crash there in the second lane from the left. CHP is going to be on scene through Santa Clarita. Problem on the 14 northbound at Sand Canyon. Looks like we've got part of the roadway blocked as you head through. Got a crash through the City of Industry. 60 eastbound at Nogales. Overturned big rig blocking the two right lanes. And the southbound Nogales on-ramp is taken away. Traffic is stop and go from Hacienda Boulevard. Stalled vehicle through Lincoln Heights on the 110 southbound at the Figueroa off-ramp. And also a stalled vehicle on the 105 Century Freeway westbound at Lakewood Boulevard. And this report is brought to you by Garmin. Hey, traffic, don't be a hater. Get a Garmin Nuvi with subscription-free HD digital traffic and avoid it with updates as often as every 30 seconds. Drive with Garmin, the most trusted name in GPS. I'm Mark Wheeler for the Skylord on 95.5 KLOS.
Okay, we bring in friends from this program that made it this program. And before Kelly, there was a man that did our news for years and years and years. He was not so much more than that. He was a cast member. He was in the sketches. His laugh is amazing. He left us, to go to have a real job. And he's with us right now, and we couldn't be more honored, Mr. Chuck Moshantz.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. I couldn't be more honored being here. A few weeks ago when Ted contacted me and asked me to be here for this, I said, yeah, sure, of course. I'll definitely be there. I wouldn't miss it. And I'm planning dropping by and doing my thing here for a few minutes. And then this morning, listening to person after person say all the things they said and listening to you guys recount stuff, I'm becoming more and more emotional. And then you said something about, forgive me, I'm a little emotional this morning, Brian,
right.
and it really hit me. This is a big deal, you guys.
Hey,
goodbye to you, and you saying goodbye to the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who've been your friends, who you've been friends to, listening every morning. My gosh.
All right, look, a couple of things. First of all, those of you listening, Chuck looks, I swear to God, I'm not saying this, he looks exactly the same as he did, not the day he left the show. He looks exactly the same as the first day that we met him.
I was out and back, and I said, so married now? Because he was married before. I said, married now? He goes, no. I go, having fun? Yes.
Now, this is important, Chuck, and it's important that you know this, because this is the absolute fact, truth, and I'll speak for myself, and I think Brian agrees, but I will speak for myself. We came here in the summer of 1987. We moved here. The station's decision was to not put us on the air until after Labor Day. So we just sat here. Hotel, finally rented a house, and just sat around and waited for that first day, which, as you know, sometimes it's not the moment, it's the anticipation of that moment coming. And I remember that very first, there was so much built up. I remember the night before our first broadcast, I was sitting in the jacuzzi, which I had never had a pool in my life, and I swam every day.
I'm sitting in the jacuzzi and I'm thinking, well, why hasn't anybody from the station called to say something to us or to say whatever? And it hit me that we're professionals. We don't need to be called. We don't need to be reminded of anything. Tomorrow, it starts. I walked into the room. Brian is in there. And I look through the pane of glass over to the right.
Hmm.
And the very first face I see is yours. And your face, more than representing Chuck Moschunt, your face represented not only KLOS, it represented, the city of Los Angeles. Now, you could have done one of many things. You could have just said, okay, here's the two idiots, and done your thing. You could have just said nothing and done news. What you did is a testament to who you are as a person. You were, having no idea who or what we were, you were open-armed, you were smiling, and you opened yourself up to us.
I'd always wondered, had you heard any tapes, Chuck, before we even got there? Did they kind of prep you on what the show was going to be?
Not really, no.
Wow.
Just these two new guys coming in who are supposed to be hilariously funny. Keep your fingers crossed, we hope.
Yeah.
Now, what I said was true from that very first break, that very first moment, you were welcoming.
Wow.
And in my world, that meant the station's welcoming us, and it allowed me to relax a little bit.
Yeah, you really did. You brought us kind of under control there when we were like freaking out and where's it going to be, and you were there before we were, and you were our base. We would always like look at you, and you kind of like, okay, this, it's working, guys, it's working.
That's really lovely to know, lovely to hear that. I have no idea from your perspective what that looked like, but I will say, as you're saying this, it reminds me of what I think you have been to LA for the last 25 years in the same way, warm and welcoming and friendly and a base to check into every day and say, ah, the world is okay, these sweet guys are here.
Let me also go, and now that we've talked about what a sweet, wonderful man he is, let me tell you about his freak side. Now, these are two examples.
Oh, no.
These are two examples. When I think of Chuck Moschunt, along with, there is, and I'm going to say this to you, out of everybody that we could think, and there are many, you are one of the absolute, not one of, and I'm talking about one or two people, the most important voices and people to this program.
Mm.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for your friendship.
Thank you. I am honored to have that position.
Now, when I think of Chuck, I also think of the morning. We all remember this. We'd known Chuck for 7 years. It's this building, and I'm looking into that room. It's time for Chuck to arrive from news. Into the room, Chuck walks, and he had a shaved head. He described that he woke up about 3 a.m. He went into the bathroom. He looks at himself, and he realizes, my hair has to go. He shaved it himself. He missed some parts, so there were things sticking up around. But that was weird.
He looked like a refugee. He came in. Uh-huh. We were worried, and we said, hi, Chuck.
Yeah.
How are you? what happened? I just woke up and needed to shave my head.
Yeah. Okay, so that was what it was. That's fine.
Now, there's another weirdness of Chuck. We say weird, and it's a beloved weird thing. I don't know if you're still like this, Chuck, but do you still hate food?
Well, it wasn't about hating food. I thought often about what is that exactly.
What is that?
When I look back on it, I think, God, that's funny. And then I think, God, that's weird.
Do you still have that inside you? And then we'll explain.
I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
But I don't know. The three of us are together. Offer me something.
Yes. Chuck has an affinity for a perfect pie or a cake or the perfect sandwich.
That's
if
true.
There's something sitting on the plate untouched.
Yep.
And it's perfect. Chuck must destroy it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were sitting, I don't know exactly what event it was, but we did an event, and there's a limo, a stretch limo to take Mark, Brian, Chuck back to wherever it is we come from. Somebody at the event had given us a pie.
Oh.
A homemade, beautiful pie. Now, we get into the limo. It's Mark and Brian. We're sitting on that first bench of the limo, and Chuck's sitting across from us. And for some reason, the pie found itself on the floor of the limo.
Still intact.
It's right there. Nobody has eaten any of it.
Beautiful pie.
Chuck, because he has some sort of a sick problem.
Compulsion, we'll call it.
With pie.
I like that.
Chuck
without skipping a beat, he lifts his right leg and stomps his foot into the pie.
Why is the only person laughing me?
And I think that's funny. You were the only person laughing in the limo. You actually did. You stomped the pie, and we were just kind of, our mouths kind of dropped, and you just went.
And let me also say that the look on your face, Chuck, was obviously that had to be done.
Sheer delight. Yes, of course.
Well,
my feet are getting happy just thinking about that. I remember other times with potato chips with big pink boxes full of donuts.
I'm glad you're not doing that anymore.
Well, look, here's the thing. He's obviously a sick individual, the hair cutting, the pie, and he's one of the best therapists working in the city. What does that tell you?
And listen, you've been a part of this program even in your absence. All the times we've talked about you, of course, and the stories we've told. But also, if you weren't with us back then, was Chuck and was doing our news, he is one of the most eloquent men you've ever... We asked him in special to read the Polar Express, his voice. I mean, you have this original voice and this way of projecting, and you did such a beautiful reading. There have been times, however, that you know, doing the news, as anyone would. I mean, I do it on a daily basis, my partner does, but you did it every, just so often, you would kind of stumble a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And there was that one moment that you stumbled during whatever news report you were trying to say, and the rhythm of it reminded me of the Bullwinkle tune. So we had somebody edit them all together, and it has been a staple when we do a miniature theater at the end of the punchline. You will hear this.
Yeah,
and that's the news.
Well, Chuck,
you know, one of the fondest memories I have, many of the fondest memories I have, are not on the air stuff. Mm. It's off the air stuff we've done together. Hawaii. Poker night.
Oh yeah.
At least two trips to Las Vegas that I can remember. There may have been more. Oh, I don't know. So many things. You and I, Brian, playing basketball on the Lakers' home court one-on-one.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I was hoping you'd forgotten that say that I won.
No, you didn't. Go ahead and say you won. Sure.
Well, yeah, Chuck, were it not for your open-armed approach to that first day, it's true, I don't think we might be here saying what we're saying today. You're a treasured family member, a wonderfully dear, phenomenal individual, and you have been missed. It's been very difficult to fill your shoes on this program, and I've gotten a lot of letters and emails over the past month. And there were a lot of those letters that said, I truly believe that the day Chuck left was going to be the end of the show. Mm. You guys found footing, but I really thought that's how important you were to this program.
That's so lovely to hear and really warms my heart. I mean, it would be anyway, of course, but especially, again, hearing all the people calling in and all the love for you and all the things people are saying about you, the enormity of it really moves me to have been an important part of the show and to have had an important relationship with you guys.
Do you ever use it to pick up chicks now? Or
all the time. Okay, that's the number one lead line.
Chuck, we love you. We'll always love you. Thank you so much for being here.
We think that maybe we can get in one of the top memories of the program.
Hello there, 841 on this final Mark and Brian show. I'm Kelly Gates. All right, here's the latest deal. The president, the campaign is telling Republican Mitt Romney that if he releases 5 years of tax returns, they'll lay off. They won't criticize him for not releasing any more. Romney has released his 2010, 2011 returns, and yesterday said he's paid at least 13% of his income in federal taxes every year for the past decade. What a story this has been. A judge in Moscow has sentenced three members of a provocative punk band, whose name I can't say on the air, to 2 years in prison each on hooliganism charges. The sentencing of the women follows a trial that has prompted all kinds of outrage as a symbol of Russia's intolerance for dissent. The feminist rockers have been dubbed prisoners of conscience by international rights groups. And yesterday, Paul McCartney had a really impassioned plea for the release. But in the end, it did not work. Office Depot, it saves you time. Depot time. Low prices every day for back to school. Latest tablets and laptops, backpacks, supplies, outrageous designs, plus incredible weekly specials. Office Depot. School time is Depot time.
Thanks for calling. It's so good to hear your voice.
but you keep breaking up. And all the static and the noise, but I keep a listening. Cause I never had a choice right. when it came to you.
This is John Waite's song, If You Ever Get Lonely, by Love and Theft. It's number one.
I'd love to see you. If you're ever out this way, you sound happy. Cause things are working out okay, and I'm getting better. I put in one foot in front of the other. And I know that California ain't to blame. And I know there's tons of people in LA. But if you ever get lost,
welcome back. It is the Mark and Brian radio program. Our final broadcast after 25 years at KLOS.
All right. Now, you know, with my retirement, mentioning that I'm going to leave, I became very retrospective, looking back over the years and coming up with things that I loved. And in most cases, obviously, there's a lot of things that were funny. But I kept trying to choose things that had a reason that they were my favorites. This one, I kept holding it off and saving it because there is so much to it. And I think, let's say, for example, if there's 10 points that make it important, this one hits all 10.
And this one comes with a picture. Which is important. Mark and I, as you know, we've said many times, used to do in the first few years birthday shows for each other, where the guy would basically, whose birthday it was, had nothing to do that day. There was no show prep. Don't worry about it. Just show up that morning, the next morning, on your birthday, and you will be out of control of everything. Now, unbelievable shows they were. I got to play basketball with Magic Johnson. I got to play drums with Yes. Mark threw me all these things. I built for Mark on his birthday the exact replica of the Mayberry Jail House, the courthouse, and we had fun with it. So these shows over the years were great. Well, the longer we went doing these, the more they would cost.
Yeah.
And because you know we to out top every idea each year, they would just get bigger and bigger and bigger.
And then, more expensive.
And so expensive. And then it just got ridiculous. So there were the last waning years of doing this. There were, you know, we'd cut some corners. And still very, very special, but it wasn't flying Skylord flying us around all of the city and doing all these things. And I came in on my birthday one morning and I was asked to take a shot of tequila. It is 6:01 in the morning, and I'll let you take it from there.
Well, this, as Brian said, was the management had come and said, boys, you got to calm down on the money. And so the birthday shows were kind of confined to the control room. Now, Brian had told me a story, not me, on the air. He shared this story. He grew up in Illinois, and he grew up watching, you know, afternoon television like everybody, and that included Bozo the Clown. He had an afternoon television show.
Morning, yeah.
Brian was a struggling comedian, actor, improv artist, guy looking for a job. And it was announced that they were looking for a new Bozo to take over the role on WGN. And Brian goes and auditions for it. One thing leads to another. It's down to Brian and another guy. Now, let me say that had he gotten this job, this would have been $60,000 a year. Crazy
exactly.
Money. Crazy. And he would have been Bozo. So.
Steady work.
Steady work.
Good work if you can get it.
But Brian didn't get it. The other guy did. So I stored this in the back of my head. So the station says, pull back on those birthday shows. Keep it in the room. Just keep it in the room. So I seeked out, knowing the Bozo story, I seeked out this guy who was, as it turns out, the original Bozo, the guy that created Bozo the Clown. Told him the idea. He said, great, love to. The idea was that he's going to come in on Brian's birthday, he himself, make Brian up in the full Bozo regalia, and Brian could be, he could fulfill that dream, he could become Bozo. So,
keep mentioning the tequila, because it's very important.
That's coming.
Here. Okay, good.
That's coming. I knew, because I know Brian, I knew that with Larry Harmon, that was the guy's name, with Larry Harmon, the original Bozo, coming in and starting to put makeup on, that this was going to go down difficult unless I could get him drinking. If I could get a good buzz on him, that he might just welcome it. That he might just think this is cool. So the very first thing, as he said, 601, I put tequila in front of him. And I remember he looked at me like, and I might have even said, why am I doing this?
Is this important to the show?
And I just said, trust me, it is. So Larry comes in. I announced to Brian is lit now. It's 7:15. He's lit up.
Yeah.
So I announced to him what's going to happen. Larry comes in. Great guy. He brings in his makeup and his thing, and he starts the process. He's putting the white all over Brian. He's got the thing, and he's doing the thing, and he's got this. My favorite moment was when the hair went on, because the hair is like out to here.
Uh-huh.
And Brian, by the way, the makeup took an hour. While the makeup was going on, he continued drinking.
Well, I'm kind of forced to, but yeah. And this guy, was an honor to have this gentleman doing this for me. The original Bozo.
Oh, Larry Harmon.
He invented this character years and years ago. I grew up with this character.
Right.
So I'm a mix of emotions at this point.
Sure.
One of them, the emotions dealing with the tequila.
Right.
But the other one was an honor that this man is standing in front of me. And the other emotion is, why is he putting Bozo makeup on me? Why is going on?
All right. So Larry finishes, and Brian looks like frickin' Bozo.
Mm.
The hair, the makeup, the nose, the clown suit, the shoes, it's all there. So now, here we are on his birthday show. We have a plastered Brian dressed as Bozo the Clown. So the next step is obvious. Bozo has to do a show. So we crank up the Mark and Brian mobile. It's Mark in the back seat, top down, and Bozo. And we drive down the road, literally a block, to Carl's Jr. And so, Bozo, we're going to walk in to the Carl's Jr. And we're going to do, or Brian is going to do, a quick impromptu, for whoever's in there, a quick impromptu Bozo. Now, there's two things you got to know here. First, all the footage that we've been using over the years as we played this was footage sent to us by a listener on a cassette tape. It wasn't great footage. Danny has gone and found the original aired footage. He says that when we walk through the door of Carl's Jr., because it's so clear, you can hear Bozo's big giant shoes flopping on the floor.
There were seven people in there, but Bozo had a show.
Now, here's the most important part, and I didn't know this until later. Brian, who has had many shots of tequila, and also he's going to do his Bozo voice and the laugh, being that he's a little drunk, and this laugh, this voice takes a lot of wind. Brian, as Bozo, got dizzy in the middle of the show. And you're going to hear the Bozo voice go away, and you're going to hear Brian say, easy now. And then we'll tell you the aftermath. So here now, Brian dressed as Bozo, full makeup, drunk out of his mind, walking into Carl's Jr. for a little impromptu show.
All right, let's move inside. Come on.
Come on.
We're moving inside the Carl's Jr.
We're about to shoot.
There's Bozo's shoes. Ladies and gentlemen, Bozo Brian.
Hi, everybody.
All right, now here we have some kids. What's your name? And your name? Meet Bozo, guys.
Hi, Joe. How you doing? We're going to have a Robin, Spot, and Root, and Toot, and Vine today. Are you enjoying your breakfast?
Yeah.
Help me.
All right, now,
help
Bozo, we're trying to get your balloons.
Help me.
We're trying to get you...
I'm bombing this, Boz.
vomit. He didn't even laugh.
We're trying to get your props, Bozo. We're wondering just where the hell they are.
I got props, do I?
Well, we're going to have some balloon animals you can make for the kids in a minute.
I'm scaring him.
I know you are.
Help me.
Keep on working it. Keep talking to him. It's working, baby.
Here's a 20. Laugh.
All right, we're hoping to find the balloons because they're supposed to already be down here, Bozo. And you could make some balloon animals. Oh, here they come. Here they come. All right, ask the kids, Bozo, if they want a balloon animal.
Hey, kids, would you like a fun balloon animal?
Tell them which
Help
ones
me.
You make there, Bozo.
Help me.
Tell them which
Help me. Help me.
Tell them which animals you make out of the balloon.
I don't, actually. That was just a bit we did 5 years ago.
Try to make them up.
All right. Hey, kids. I should explain something to you. You know, like, you go to a mall, kids, and you see Santa Claus there, and you know it's not the real Santa Claus because Santa Claus is so busy. Well,
easy now.
I like the stand-in Bozo just for today. The other Bozo's much better.
And these like kids are just staring at him.
Help me.
All right, Bozo. Bozo, what kind of animals do you make, Bozo?
Oh, I make all kinds of balloon animals. Would you like to see one? What? Do you what? Now I got to make one. See, Parker? Yeah. See, for the bit, when we do that, I just
go,
I don't actually make any balloon animal. This ought to be good. What's your favorite animal, boy? Joe?
Boy?
Dog. What?
Dog.
Dog.
Dog. Dog, Bozo. Bozo. Bozo hard of hearing.
Bozo got hair in his ear.
Bozo can't hear a damn thing. Good luck, Bozo.
All right, Joe, I'm going to make you a dog. What kind of dog? Any kind. Just make it leave.
All right, here we go. Bozo popped a balloon.
That was a pop dog. Here we go. I'm going to make it. Get a little loosey here. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa.
Just a minute. All right. So we're running out of time. So Bozo's finished his show. Now, I want to go back. Yeah. Did you actually almost pass out at that moment?
I did not know I said,
easy now,
right. Until I heard the replay. I did not know I said that.
Let's go back. Let's isolate the moment. This is where Bozo, several shots of tequila, doing the Bozo voice, doing the laugh. He ran out of air and almost passed out.
Hey, kids. I should explain something to you. You know, like, you go to a mall, kids, and you see Santa Claus there, and you know it's not the real Santa Claus because Santa Claus is so busy. Well,
easy now.
I seriously believe that I thought that in my head. I was giving myself, boosting myself up, like, come on, you can do this. And somehow it went from my head and came out of my mouth.
All right, so now here's the reason for the whole thing. Out of 27 years with this man, 25 of them on KLOS, this is the single greatest photograph that I've ever seen. It's quite literally, we went through the house and threw out a bunch of stuff, and this is the only photograph I kept. Blown up for me and for you by a listener. We walked out of Carl's Jr. We're off the air. Commercial break. Walk out of Carl's Jr. We get in the car. Convertible Mark and Brian Mobile. Mm. There in this photograph, you see me sitting there just smiling, and you see post-show drunk Bozo, who is having a, he just did a show for the kids, and Bozo's having a post-show smoke. Also, his hair, the Bozo hair had slipped back during the performance, and you see some Brian Blonde coming out. His eyes are slits. Now, what makes it unique is the Bozo people, because Bozo was smoking and drunk, wouldn't allow the photograph to be released. We have put it.
The only thing that make it better was a hooker between my legs.
We have put the photograph up on markandbrian.com. Go and enjoy that photograph, because we kind of don't care if we get in trouble or not.
Ted, what is next? Jim Latter, the game. What are we doing?
A break.
We'll make a quick call to an old boss.
Here we go.
Quick call, then we'll have Jim Land right in after that.
Airchecks.com.